back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, we're going to stay in New York for this segment. The New York mayoral race is being unfairly characterized as being in chaos. Well, it's not in chaos. Let me give you the real facts. Let me give you the background and the real facts. The real facts are that on the primary date, I think it was June 22nd, Eric Adams, the borough president of Brooklyn, got a little about over 31% of the vote in a huge field, double-digit field. Really only around six legitimate candidates, but, and when I say legitimate, every candidate's legitimate, but that any shot at all, six roughly, and Adams got 31-some-odd%. What happened then is Maya Wiley came in second, 10 points behind him. Catherine Garcia came in third, a point or two behind Maya Wiley. Then they did ranked choice voting. And that was, as they started with the lowest candidate, the one that got the fewest votes, threw their first place votes out and said, who did they vote for second place or their second choice? And then they credited them as first choice votes, according to whoever they voted for. And they kept doing this on the way up until essentially there are three candidates still in the race. When they did that, Eric Adams did not have a 10-point lead over anybody. Eric Adams, when you reallocate all votes, had 51% of the votes, roughly. Catherine Garcia had roughly 49%. And then Maya Wiley is only something like 500 votes behind Catherine Garcia. And this is out of hundreds of thousands of votes cast in New York. So what it is Eric Adams at that point was in the lead by 14,000 votes over Catherine Garcia, and Catherine Garcia was only 500 or so votes over Maya Wiley. Then they had egg on their face. What happens was they had mistakenly counted 135,000 of what they call test ballots that they run through the machine to make sure the thing is functioning. And everybody said, fraud. Trump immediately jumped in and compared it to 2020 and said, that's exactly what happened to me, blah, blah, blah. Of course, he was lying. In all the swing states, in every state, there were numerous recounts. There was no impropriety at all. And he was lying. So what they did was they factored out the 135,000 test ballots. And it turned out that the percentages were essentially the same as before. Eric Adams, right now, with ranked choice voting and reallocation of votes of others who clearly lost, is about 51%. Catherine Garcia around 49%. And right behind Catherine Garcia is Maya Wiley. And remember something, these are just reallocations of other people's votes. The truth of the matter is that in the raw vote, Eric Adams is only 14,000 votes ahead of Catherine Garcia, and Catherine Garcia is only 500 votes ahead of Maya Wiley. Why is all this important? Because there are 129,000 absentee ballots that they had until yesterday to mail in, and they won't be counted until July 6th. And once they're counted, then they will start the whole process of reallocating other people's second, third, fourth, and fifth choice because of ranked choice voting. Because remember, with 129,000 roughly votes out, people are going to vote for all these candidates in some proportion. And this is going to get very, very close. Let me throw something out at you. Do you think that the demographics that largely supported Eric Adams are more or less likely to vote absentee? In other words, will they be a dominant force? If they are, Eric Adams is in good shape. Do you think that Catherine Garcia's demographics are voters and Maya Wiley's are more likely to a voter? If so, they will surge up. And then it turns out, by analysis of the votes, that Catherine Garcia's voters frequently put Maya Wiley as their number two, and Maya Wiley's voters frequently put Catherine Garcia as their number two. And their voters never ranked Eric Adams, or not frequently number two, put him way down the line. This is going to test ranked choice voting. I've told you before, I don't favor ranked choice voting. And the reason I don't favor it is because that initial snapshot is usually the correct snapshot of people's preferences. So when Eric Adams got 31.9% of the vote, I think, out of a field of, I don't know, 16 candidates, and it was quite a few, that's an amazing thing. And everybody congratulated him. And yeah, you wait for the absentee ballots, but after that, I personally don't care who's number two choice anybody was. But other experts say, and I'm not, other people will say, well, you know, we want to get into the depths. We want to get into their inner weasels. They have all these inner weasels in their psychology. Luke is grinning. Luke does not have inner weasels like many people. Well, Luke,
come on, Mac.
Are you for ranked choice voting?
Get with the times. Why not? Why not?
Oh, for God's sake.
Why not?
You're young. And you're enthusiastic.
It makes elections more like cordial. Like it works against having like just mudslinging fights. Politicians have to be able to show why they should be a second or third choice if there is a huge crowded field. And I think that it gives voters more power because you're not stuck between an A and B binary choice. And so when you've got a field of 16 plus candidates, why not try it out? I don't know. I don't have all the answers, but let's see if it works. Maybe it is better for our democracy.
Well, I've heard that argument before, but politics is plenty negative anyway. And I do not want to get into the inner weasels of who is the fifth choice of some guy. Who's the fifth choice of some guy? I don't care who the fifth choice of some guy is, or his fourth choice, or his third choice. What a fickle guy. What a fickle son of a gun. Fickle son of a gun. Half the time they guess, they go, oh my God, I've got to fill out five. Are you funding me?
Well, that makes voters have to pay more attention too. So I like that because you have a more informed.
None of them pay attention. They're lucky they vote, and they're lucky if they heard one name.
Well, you don't have to fill it out. Then you just are giving up your option. You're giving your first choice your vote, and you don't really care after that. Then so I mean, I think it gets people more invested in elections. I don't mind. I like it. Try something
new. And that's interesting. That may be the view of the youth and the view of the future. And I remember when I was a youth and, you know, during the 60s, no one liked what we had to say, but we had some righteous things to say.
Fair enough. Well, some breaking news as well this morning, Matt. Trump Organization CFO Alan Weisselberg has now surrendered himself to the Manhattan DA.
Wow.
So he has now in custody, I believe, of the Manhattan DA. Before the arraignment that is planned for later today.
Wow. We thought he might turn himself in, but, you know, that's only 7:28 out in Manhattan. He did not want to be dragged out while he was shaving or dragged out of a restaurant or his office. And he hedged against that by going in super early, going in at dawn.
Apparently, yeah. Westerberg. So he is now in custody.
Very, very smart of Alan Weisselberg. Very, very smart of Alan Weisselberg. Okay. In a bit, we're going to be going to the breaks. The lines are live. Do not hang up. When we get back from the break, I will immediately get to the lines. But the breaking news that Luke just disclosed, very significant. Alan Weisselberg is in custody. He is being sweated. They're not going to hit him over with a rubber truncheon right now. His lawyer's with him. But he has a big think on his mind. He has a big think. Is he willing to go to jail along with Manafort, Cohen, possibly Giuliani? All these bodies, they drop like flies around Trump. Nothing happens to Trump. I don't think Weisselberg will go for that. We're going to a break, and then we'll be back to the lines. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.